All right, well, let's open with a word of prayer because we're going to need time for the fist fights later. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the upcoming new year. May we look forward to how we can bring glory and honor to your name. Bless us now as we finish for this section, denominations, and just appreciate the many differences we have as the body of Christ. And we look forward next week to looking at cultural issues with the truth rising. But bless our time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, by way of introduction, still talking about the different forms of church government, you know, Episcopal, Presbyterian, bishops, elders, pastor, Baptists would be part of more the congregational, autonomous local churches that really have the main officer is a pastor usually. So they come out of, and we'll go into this more, but they come out of the congregational movement from the Church of England in the many hundreds of years ago. So if you would, actually, or we can look at the... froze it up on me there, Lauren, sorry. But on our timeline, or sort of the showing the major, you know, here was Orthodox Catholic, out of the Catholics, the Anglicans, talked about them, and then another branch of them, we looked at congregational, and now about that time, the Baptists that we're looking at today, and we'll go more into this, but already you can see, look how many names there are here. Up here there's one, but Baptists, we start getting lots of names. And we'll talk about some of my favorite names in a little bit. So just let's use the glossy brochure first by way of introduction. And so when and how were they founded? Well, we'll talk more about this, but historically, John Smith, with a Y, good English name, John Smythe, in 1609, around the time 1611 when the King James Bible came out, and other, so John Smith and other English Puritans formed the First Baptist Church in England, and then they were forced over to the Netherlands, and then some of those folks were coming over to the U.S. The First Baptist Church in America was established in Providence, Rhode Island by a guy named Roger Williams. And in fact, one of the Ivy League schools, Brown University, is a Baptist school in Providence, Rhode Island. How many adherents? They infest everything. They say 100 million worldwide, including the families, and 20 to 30 million in the U.S. You know, Baptist in the U.S., Southern Baptists in particular, are the largest Protestant denomination in the U.S. What are their major divisions or groups? Well, the Conservative Southern Baptist Convention is the largest denomination. It says here some 13 million. There's a lot of them. The Cooperative Baptist Fellowship emerged from the SBC in the early 90s over such issues as women's roles. Other groups, the Baptist General Convention of Texas, the National Baptists, there's various groups of them, the American Baptist Churches USA, the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, Baptist Bible Fellowship, and we'll talk more about them, and especially sort of what's in a name. The names can, you know, sort of give us a hint where they're going. So we'll talk about that more in a second. So how do they view Scripture? This is one thing which is why I am a Baptist. I've told you many times, I am ordained in the Southern Baptist Church, so I can make fun of me. But one thing that Baptists, which is what drew me to Baptists, very high view of Scripture. Scripture is inspired and without error, the sole final authority or final totally trustworthy rule of faith. The standard Protestant canon is accepted, you know, the 39 books, Old Testament, 27 New. Mainline churches may vary in extent to which they continue to view Scripture as without error. So there are more liberal movements within the Baptist Church that don't necessarily accept the inerrancy of Scripture. Yes, ma'am. We're getting to that, but yeah, very interesting. And that's Baptists, we'll see in a minute, are not one of the things they wanted to be separate from church and state. But within different countries, like England, they're going to have different emphases, different names. You know, so John Smythe was English. Roger Williams is a big name in the America, and names like, if you know, Adrian Rogers, Charles Stanley, you know, these are some big sort of rock star name. Here's one that, David Jeremiah, he's good. Rick Warren, if you know him, I'm not a fan of Rick Warren, but that is a Baptist church. That is so true. So how do they view God and Jesus? The doctrines of the Trinity and the Incarnation, historically, most Baptists have not affirmed or made use of early creeds. So they're very orthodox biblically, but they're not big on creeds. Nowadays, you know, if you want to talk about a creed, Herschel Hobbes, the Baptist faith and message, it's not a creed, but it's sort of a summary of generic Baptist teachings. The New Hampshire Confession, you know, there's some old dead ones that Baptists don't use creeds. They use the Bible, man. And I'll give you an independent fundamentalist Baptist sermon in a minute. You're going to love it. So what do they believe about salvation? People are saved by grace alone when God imputes them the gift of his righteousness through faith alone in Christ who died for their sins. Good works are the inevitable result of the true faith, but in no way the basis of right standing before God. Very orthodox. A lot of that comes out of the Reformation, but faith in Christ, his righteousness, is the main thing. It's not our works. It's salvation by grace through faith. What do they believe happens after death? Souls of believers go to be with Christ. At Christ's return, their bodies are raised to immortal, eternal life. The wicked will suffer eternal punishment in hell. So once again, very biblical. How do they view the church? The church universal is the body of Christ, which consists of the redeemed throughout history. So all Christians of all time. Local churches are autonomous congregations, very important. Members are to be baptized believers. It's in the name, Baptist. Church officers are pastors and deacons. What about the sacraments? Baptism is immersion. Of course, believers' baptism is immersion of believers only as a symbol of their faith in Christ. The Lord's Supper is a symbolic memorial of Christ's death and anticipation of his return, which historically, that is, you know, you've heard me mention the name, but that's Ulrich Zwingli. That's a Zwinglian view coming out of the Swiss Reformation. You know, no bodily presence, not really even spiritual presence, but it's a memorial meal. Both are called ordinances rather than sacraments. Who cares? Well, sacrament, the word sacraments, carries with it the technical meaning of conveying grace. So they, you know, the Lord's Supper and baptism actually confer grace on the recipient. Baptists don't believe that. They call them ordinances, ordained by Christ. Christ said, get baptized. Christ celebrated the Last Supper, but they are memorials pointing ultimately to Christ. What other things should we know? Oh, Baptist, what do you want to know? No. Most Baptists emphasize evangelism. Baptists are very good about that. Missions and education. Separation of church and state is a historic Baptist emphasis. More on that in a minute, but that's, you know, coming out of those congregationalists that were fed up with the state Anglican church. We want to be autonomous. We don't want the king telling us how to worship. Baptists include both Calvinists and Arminians. Those are sort of fields or families of theology having to do with, you know, we talked about the Reformed Calvinism, Reformed doctrine versus Arminian, and we'll talk more about the Wesleyans when we get to the Methodists. But that's your shiny brochure. Any comments or questions thus far? All right, now for the, you know, Baptists and fighter pilots. I ran across this, I thought this was great. The following is an acrostic spelling Baptists. So I'm not going to write it on the board, but Baptists and their distinguishing beliefs. So B, big on biblical authority. And that's when I went off, when I left home and went off to college to Canoe U, I tended to gravitate to Baptist churches just because somehow in my depraved Navy mind, I knew the church ought to use the book, and Baptists tended to use the book. So I went to Baptist. Biblical authority, A, autonomy of the local church, big on that, because we'll see that in a minute, but separation of church and state. But each church is autonomous. Some, like the Southern Baptist Convention, you know, there are autonomous churches where the convention just organizes for missions, things like that. But nobody tells us what to do. P, priesthood of all believers. So when you have a bishops, even elders, you know, sort of a hierarchical, clerical hierarchy, Baptists emphasize, and this comes from 1 Peter 2, they, you know, I've got verses that we're not going to go into that, sort of their proof text verses. Each of us stands before Christ as alone in the sense of we are the priesthood of all believers. That was the term, which, of course, Roman Catholics had a real problem with that. 1 Timothy 2:5 is a verse that pops to mind, that where Paul's telling young Timothy, for there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So Christ is the only mediator. We don't need a priest to confess our sins to go to God. So priesthood of all believers. T, two ordinances. Believer's baptism, we call that, and the technical term is credo baptism, C-R-E-D-O, credo, which means believers, as opposed to infant baptism is pedo, you know, pediatrician, pedo, children, pedo baptist, or some poor, but credo baptist. So believers baptist, that is one of their major, it's in the name, like I said. So, and the Lord's Supper, which we talked about, they are memorials. And this can be a little bit of a negative in the view of other church denominations, but they are very individual. You know, it's not a covenant with the church, covenant baptism, it's individual. You stand alone before Christ, you know, so they tend to be a little more individualistic, which goes along with no separation of church and state. So you can see why in America it's a very popular denomination, because, you know, Americans, we're an individual bunch of people. So they tend to emphasize being born again individually, not being baptized into the covenant community, things, other theological doctrines. Baptists are, you know, believe the gospel, trust in Jesus, things like that. Okay, S. It's a saved and baptized church membership. So to be a member of the church, most Baptist churches, well, yeah, most, I can't speak for every single one, but you have to be baptized and be saved. You know, there are no, as far as they are possible, there's no unbelievers in the local church. And that's sort of reflected in our membership here. Really, the only thing, those of you have had your grilling by me, the only requirement to join this church family is a credible profession of faith. And that's Baptist, and that's by baptism. And I've told you the story, you know, that where I had been baptized, I was baptized in the Episcopalian church back in the 60s when I was, you know, little Henry Hawk Dieter. My parents called me Henry Hawk. My therapist says I'm getting better, though. But then I was baptized by Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith, in the Jordan River by immersion. Well, Georgia and I went to join a independent fundamentalist Baptist church, and Georgia had been baptized in the Southern Baptist Church, right? And so the pastor was funny, and we'll get to that again. A wonderful pastor, but we wanted to join, and one of the first questions is, have you been baptized? And Georgia, yes. Where? Southern Baptist Church. You're okay. Dieter, have you been baptized? Yes. By who? Chuck Smith, who's that? In the Jordan River. And I'm like patting myself on the back. Yeah, I was in the Jordan River. And it wasn't even a question. He just pointed at me and said, you'll get baptized here. Okay, so then I went through the baptism in the local church. So baptized, saved members, very important. T, two offices of the church, pastor and deacon. So in Baptist churches, you know, you have a Charles Stanley or a Rick Warren, but then they have a board of deacons, which are sort of the almost fulfilling the role of elders in Presbyterian churches. So pastor and deacons. And some Reformed Baptists have elders. There's no one set thing for Baptists. And then finally, S, separation of church and state. Very big on no control by the state. Churches are to be left alone. And that type of thinking obviously has influenced the America First Amendment, things like that. So where did they come from? Well, there are three main theories. Two are a little suspect, and then the final one is probably the most accurate. But number one, and this is the some very independent fundamentalist, and Jeff, do you know the term landmark Baptists? Yeah, landmarkism, but the Jerusalem Jordan John, the Baptist. So the Baptist, we were before the Reformation. We started with Mr. the Baptist, you know, and that's, there's really no historical support, but some are very exclusive and point to that. Number two, the Anabaptist spiritual kinship. So we talked about those radical reformers. Nobody liked them. Nobody likes Baptists today either. No. But the Anabaptists, you know, who were known for Anna in Greek means again. So they were rebaptizers. So there's, you know, some people say, well, that's where they started. Well, there's a lot of disagreement with the theology. For one thing, the Anabaptists, if you remember, wouldn't take oaths. They were pacifists. Baptists generally don't. You know, Southern Baptists today are some good Christ-killing communists. Or communists. Communist-killing Christians. Unfortunately, some of them kill Christ, too, or try to in their belief. And then finally, the one that's probably most accurate, like on the chart up there, the English separatist descent. So coming out of those Congregationalists, you know, separate from state churches. So a type of congregational church with unique Baptist beliefs, for example, the regenerate church members, and John Smith, Roger Williams, and, you know, were separatists, Baptist separatists, we'll say. So any comments or questions there? Yes, sir. Really? You know, Lynn, if you went back, a lot of good history and, you know, where line of descent all the way back, and then somewhere along the line they split off and formed American Baptists, isn't it, Peg? Yeah. Yeah, and so, you know, I'm going to share some of the names. I just love this. And what they divide over. And all the denominations, I'm just sort of poking fun because Baptists, there tends to be a lot more Baptists. But, and I would, ultimately, I would say that's because of sin, where, you know, we don't get along over, is that really that important? Well, we're going to divide anyway. And so like Lee was kidding earlier, you know, and I've kidded about, there are paved parking lot Baptists and there are non-paved parking lot Baptists. There are red tie wearing Baptists, and they don't like the blue tie wearing Baptists. I mean, you know, that's a little bit, that's, you know, a little facetious, but the things churches divide over, you know, we almost could care less about the major things. Jesus is God, we don't care about that, but the color of the carpet in the church sanctuary, we will start a new church over that, or music, or whatever it is. So, yeah, very, very good, though. The, you know, all the way back to good old Roger. All right, so a few of the names. General Baptist. You'll see general in some Baptist denominations. And general Baptists were the Baptists who hold to the general redemption, unlimited atonement, technically. Jesus died for all people, not just the elect. The earliest Baptists, John Smith and Roger Williams, were General Baptists. So the earliest Baptists tended to be General Baptists. Free Will Baptists, you know, that's another branch of General, but Free Will really have a high view of man's autonomous free will, and you know, and of course Jesus died for everyone, but man's will is what we make the choice. A particular Baptist, or sometimes they're the same thing as Reformed Baptists. They tend to be more Calvinistic, more Reformed, hold to those, if you remember talking about the tulip, you know, they will hold those in greater or lesser degrees. The big thing that, you know, once again, there are many flavors. Some are 5-point Calvinists, some are 4-point, some are 2-point. There's Baptists are always 1-point. They believe you can't lose your salvation once you're in. But Baptists agree infant baptism is not, you know, that comes Reformed Baptist, Reformed Church, Calvin, and his ilk, Knox, you know, infants were baptized. Baptists do not believe that's biblically, you know, it's a credo Baptist, believer's Baptist. You make a profession of faith, then you get dunked. You know, some might dunk you once, some might dunk you 3 times in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And if you're trying to baptize Dieter or get him wet, you hold him under for an hour if you can. So, Jan. So General Baptists, particular Baptists. Then you have primitive Baptists. You know, to me, that sort of sounds funny, but not primitive in that they're backwards. But they take that term to mean the original. We're the original Baptists. We go back to the New Testament apostles, you know, King James only. Sometimes you get this is the more independent fundamentalist, but primitive Baptists, only the King James 1611 version. I had a discussion, shall we say, with a guy who had come to visit us at our church when I was up in Kimball, Nebraska, and he really was on me about what I thought about the King James Version and the 1611 version, not the 1769 version. And I have fun with stuff like that. I'm ornery, sorry. But, oh, so you know the difference, do you? Well, let's talk about that. And can I show you where your King James Bible mistranslates something? No, you can't. Okay, I won't. But some primitive Baptists, original, they stick only what the New Testament says. So, no music, no Sunday school, because that's not in the Bible. And here's a little bit about it. Let me, I can't do it now after my stroke, but they are known for their very dramatic preaching style, you know. You know who doesn't want you to be baptized, don't you? The devil. Devil, he hates Baptists. And you take away the D, what you got? Evil. The devil is evil. He doesn't want you to be baptized. You take away the E, what you got? Vile. He's vile. And he's believer's baptism is vile to the devil. And if you believe that, you take away the V, what you got? Ill. He'll make you ill because you are not getting baptized the proper way. And if you don't do that, you take away the I, what you got? L. And that's where you're going, straight to L. If you don't get baptized the right way. My voice inflection is not the best for that now, but preacher, yeah. And you get a lot of that, a lot of amens and hallelujahs and, you know, so. I mean, well. Uh, a couple other names. Missionary Baptists tended to come from a group. There's a big mission controversy, and whether conventions should do that or only the local church. And so missionary Baptists don't like outsourcing to conventions like, you know, Southern Baptists group, the cooperative. They cooperate for the Lottie Moon, stuff like that. They work together for missions. Missionary Baptists don't believe that's biblical, because the only true church is the local church, and so we send out the missionaries individually as churches. So against conventions, especially the Southern Baptists. And so in very independent, our own sovereignty, independent Baptists, you know, once again, these are all sort of the same names for some of the, they believe some of the same stuff, but emphasize the localness of the local church. No, we don't associate. And there's a tends to be, which a lot of the denominations we have talked about, we're the only true church. So that's the old joke when you're in heaven. If you go by the doors for the different denominations, St. Peter's will tell you, we're going by independent Baptist room. Be very quiet. They think they're the only ones here. So, but you fill in many different denominations we've talked about. Then there's the new independent Baptists. I'd never heard of them, but the independent Baptists weren't conservative enough, so we have the new independent Baptist churches. Are you familiar with them?
Not the new independent. I am with the independent Baptists.
Well, the new are much more conservative than...
They're more conservative than that.
You know, they... Yeah. And, well, I could tell stories about... It's a wonderful time in Georgia in my life. While I was away at sea in the Navy, our First Coast Baptist Church, independent, fundamentalist, King James only, that was, I mean, they took care of Georgia while I was gone. Then you have Seventh-day Baptists. So you've heard of the Seventh-day Adventists. Well, the Baptists that church should be on the seventh, the Sabbath, seventh day. And then you get into those, what I call the landmark Baptists, which especially look back to John the Baptist, and the only, you know, and they're definitely only our particular church is the true church and legitimate, and that goes with, that goes for the pastors. You have to have only legitimate pastors can do the ordinances and baptisms. And that was, I, you know, looking back, I was like, I didn't know what all this meant back then. But when we joined that church, they had some of these beliefs. Now, whether they would call themselves landmark Baptists, but baptisms were only legitimate in that local church by a true pastor. So that's why I had to get baptized again. All right, let me give you some names. So you have the, and these are just some. American Baptist Association, the American Baptist Churches in the USA, the Baptist General Conference, the General Association of General Baptist Churches, the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. And regular there means conservative. You know, we're not the regular liberals. We're the ones hold on to the faith. The National Association of Free Will Baptists, the National Baptist Convention of America, the National Primitive Baptist Convention, the New Testament Association of Independent Baptist Churches, the North American Baptist Conference, the Primitive Baptist, the Progressive National Baptist Convention, That's Martin Luther King was in that one. They were big with Martin Luther King. The Reformed Baptist Church, and then, of course, the Southern Baptist Churches. So, all right. We could go on for decades. The question is, can a Baptist be saved? That's the age-old question. No. Any comments, questions? Those of us who were Baptists, any comments about, you know, with each church autonomous, it's hard to say what all Baptists believe because we decide. And, you know, that's can be a strength in the sense we're not being told by the liberal hierarchy, but then there's an independent nature that, you know, me and Jesus, we got it all figured out. Nobody's going to tell me what to believe, you know. So there's an independent streak as opposed to autonomous, which has a little more positive connotation. So any comments, questions? Personal abuse? Oh, I got some. So Jeff, I'm talking to you now. Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, to me that's positive in the sense of they are overcompensating to an extreme misunderstanding of what they mean, as opposed to, you know, folks that you can make the Bible mean whatever you want. And that's one of the things that I'll confess, I sort of used to be in this camp where the King James Version was the only, I mean, it's called the Authorized Version. And if you look, there's no copyright. You know, we were big on that. There's no copyright on the King James Version. All these newfangled, you know, NIV, the Nearly Inspired Version. You know, I still know some of those jokes, but they all have copyrights. There is no copyright on God's Word. And so I've had those conversations with folks that, you know, it's not God's Word unless it's the King Jimmy. And trying to convince them or to get them folks to even consider other arguments can be tough. And that's maybe a lesson for all of us. We get so entrenched in our view. Is our view actually biblically informed? So, yeah, Jan. I'll pray for you. You know, that's another, that is another, if we are getting into an uncomfortable truth or a question that, you know, that I've never thought of that. No, you haven't. Well, I'll pray for you. You need to get saved. You know, but that's, and we are all guilty of selectively proof texting scripture. We find the verses we like, but we like to cross out the verses we don't like. And that's, you know, what can we learn from that? All of us to some degree. And that'll be next week's sermon more. That's why having a standard for how books, but the Bible should be interpretive. We don't just get to make it up. There are rules for interpretation. Some rules are better than others, but, you know, we're Americans. I'm the final authority. You know, and so Baptists maybe are on the far extreme of that. You know, I can't think outside the King James, but yet, yeah, you haven't thought outside. You haven't even thought inside the King James. So, but that's a good question, and I can't answer for, you know, that's. That, yeah. Yes, but that gets back to my point about interpretation. How do we look at the text? And do I get to decide what that means, or am I trying to, you know, when you hear me say MSA, meaning, who determines meaning? The author determines. So now it is incumbent on me to seek to understand what his meaning, in this case, God is the primary author, but, you know, the biblical Paul, Peter, Moses, you know, the biblical men, small a authors, what did they mean? And so that's why meaning, this is one of my hot button issues. We should start with God's intended meaning as best we can. Resources, language, historical context, biblical context. You've heard me say context determines a word's meaning. So just because this word can mean all sorts of, we could use that in all sorts of different senses, but in this sense, it is being used in this way. And so the more we conform our wills, if you will, do we seek to understand God's meaning, or, and you're, this is what you're saying, and I totally agree. Well, I'm an American. I want it to mean this. And Jeff's saying, no, I want it to mean this. Well, let's start our own churches then, because we can't agree on the plain meaning of the text. Well, the plain meaning, because we are such self-centered, subjective people, the plain meaning, you know, might have been plain to Timothy, but now we think of it as Americans. Well, the Bible wasn't written to Americans. You know, it applies to Americans. The principles apply to, you know, MSA, significance, application. Those are relevant or contextual, the message, contextual to all times, you know, everywhere. But the actual meaning had a specific meaning at the time from which we I'm sorry? And a lot of people, you know, think that in the wrong sense. And the Living Bible is an actual paraphrase of man. Well, English people wouldn't understand the these and thous. So we'll change it to you and, you know, which that's, I don't have a problem with that. But when we take words that sort of meant something totally different in biblical times, but we tend to look at words as Americans. Oh, well, Moses must have been talking about computer viruses. No, he wasn't. You know, so that's where understanding the inerrancy, that's why that word's so important, of the biblical text, the original text. See, that's where King James folks can get a little dogmatic. Well, I think I had a guy once tell me, I'm arrogant seminary guy. Well, the original Greek doesn't mean that. He says, I don't care what the original Greek means, says. The King James says this. Okay. How can you argue with that? Yes, add some of the later scholarship and gets rid of the these and thous. That's the Bible I grew up with. That's what I use, and I kid Paul and Silas use, but I'm going to use a very heady term here. The Textus Receptus is the Greek family from which the King James and the New King James really almost exclusively come from. That is an inferior Greek text. Now that's fighting words for King James only folks. But, that's just what I grew up with. And one of my jobs is to explain. Now, you'll hear me say, now some of your translations will add this word or leave out this word. So, that goes into what's called lower criticism, okay, heady terms, on manuscript study, which, has anybody studied manuscripts? that's part of what I had to do. So. Look at the time. You're talking my language, and that's a topic I could go on for months, but everybody's eyes would be rolling over because the Bishop's Bible, the Geneva Bible, Wycliffe Bible, I have books in my library about sort of tracing the descent, and so where the King James, what it was built upon, but at the time, and still, the King James was the best scholarship of the age. And it's still a beautiful, a lot of us older folks, we still remember sort of the, my father, half art, the way Shakespeare talked. And beautiful language, but people don't talk that way. And so part of any book, Bible we have is a translation. And so that was one of the things of the Reformation, putting the Bible in the common, the vulgar, is what the term Vulgate, Latin was the language of the day way back when. So the Vulgate, written by Jerome, an old dead guy, that was the that was not Greek and Hebrew, it was Latin. And so any translation we have is, any Bible we have in English is obviously a translation, because the, sorry King James folks, God did not speak in King James English. Try to convince some people of that. Yeah, that's right. And that's of course, so that's some of my studies. I have New Testament Greek, all in Greek, and then the BHS, I can't even remember, but the Hebrew, so I have the Hebrew, the best manuscripts we have for Hebrew and Greek, but even that is with the Dead Sea Scrolls and other finds have updated that kind of stuff. So God's word is inerrant and infallible. We are still finding the original languages, that help us understand. And hopefully, that could be maybe a good talk someday. What translations in English best, best represent the original languages and what they're for. You know, that's sort of, somebody came, Pastor, what's the best Bible? And I probably would say, for what? Do you want a study Bible that is sort of word for word, you might say? Or do you want something you can read easily, more of a thought for thought? So, you know, but that's translations. And so part of my studies is, and why I poke fun sometimes, good-naturedly, where I recognize different translations, I can spot the biases of the translators, you know, because, I know why they translated it that way. It fits their theology more. For example, the New World Translation, that's the Jehovah's Witness Bible. And in the Old Testament, it's pretty, especially, it's actually pretty accurate word for word, but you can see, you know, we don't say God, we say Jehovah. Well, Jehovah's a made-up word. You know, I won't go into that, but that's a made-up word that, you know, so that reflects their particular theology and different areas where they, for example, when I remember John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Because they want to say, well, there's no definite article, so it's a God. So then you try to ask them, oh, so you believe in more than one God? Oh, no. Yeah, well, that's what you just told me. You know, so it's a misunderstanding of how the Greek language works to prove, because they want to prove Jesus is not fully God. So, sorry we went a little long. Thanks to Jan again. So anyway, thank you. We're going to take a pause for several weeks, and then we'll come back to the final denominations. And I have gotten some more flyers if we need some more. There were some people that said they needed them, so I will have more flyers. But next week, Scott, what are we doing? And independent fundamentalist Baptists and Nazarenes, you don't have to come because we're showing movies. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can have fun as the family of God. Ultimately, hopefully, just rejoicing that it's all because of you that we can be brothers and sisters. Bless us now as we go into the main service, as we look at what our purpose is here on earth as your children through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Today, amen.